Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Jump up on your feet and get into the Word. There's always a sunny side to every situation. And the sunny side right now with these lights being out is you're not going to get any glare off of my head bouncing back into your eyes. You always have to find the good thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody say, now faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm about to see it. I don't know what your it is, but you're about to see it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. This is our final installment to our Now What series. Now what is the question that a lot of times we ask ourselves when things seem to be just coming unwound and unraveling and it doesn't look like everything that you thought was going to happen is going to happen, or perhaps you face tough times and you just think, what's next? Now what? So the now what question of life, and we are entering into the 9-month mark of a pandemic that has now taken out the lives of millions of people, affected hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. But even if there wasn't a pandemic, there would still be issues. And we have to understand that even though that we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, even though that we have built a foundation on the things of God and the Word of God and the promises of God, we have to realize there's going to be some days that we just want to end and get through quickly. There's going to be some times and some pressure cooker situations that we are made to feel uncomfortable, and we just wish that we could get past that. But I want to encourage you that in those now what moments, that what do I do in the midst of uncertainty? What do I do in the midst of global pandemics? What do I do in the midst of wars and rumors of other wars? It is that question that we have answered these last few weeks. And the question of now what should always be answered with faith. And that is such a simple way to put it, but it is so much more difficult to walk it out. And so faith can take on many forms. Your praise is faith. Your worship is faith. Your giving, your tithing, your offering, that's faith in action. When you show up to serve and run one of these cameras, to become the media team, the praise team, or somewhere in between, that's faith in action. The way that you would get up and you would talk to a God that you've never seen face to face and understand that he's talking back, that's faith in action. And so when we say we answer the now what question with faith, faith has to take some sort of form in our life. Just by you being here on a Sunday morning, it's an act of faith. Because if you wanted to be here, you said, I'm going to church expecting something good is going to happen. That's faith. If you were forced to be here, you were working in faith, knowing that if you didn't show up, that mama was going to whoop you. That you're going to get the cold shoulder from your spouse for the rest of the week. So you put your faith in that if I go, everything is going to be better. Here's a list of the things that have not changed since the pandemic and all of the uncertainties of life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is everlasting. The promises of God, all 6,000 plus of them, are yes and amen. The love of God endures forever and forever. The will of God for your life has not changed. The blood of Jesus has not changed. It is still powerful. God's purpose and vision for your life, we are not on plan C or D. God is not having to move things around because something unexpectedly happened. God's will and vision for your life is still the same. And so when we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul is writing and ending this first letter to encourage believers in Thessalonica to refute the slanderous accusations against Paul and his team, but also to encourage the new converts and believers who had been under attack or persecuted for their faith. I stand by my statement 3 weeks ago that the United States, compared to other parts of the world, that we are not enduring a lot of persecution. Just because somebody talks bad about you is not persecution. Just because somebody runs their mouth and slanders you is not persecution. When there are other parts of the world right now that if they were caught with the Bible that you and I hold, they would be taken out and killed immediately. There are people that have literally been beheaded because of their allegiance to Jesus and because they would not denounce their faith in Christ. That is real persecution. However, even if the devil doesn't physically persecute you, he will come against your faith. And your faith can be persecuted. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, the last 2 weeks we've talked, and Paul just hits them with these truths. And he says, know them, esteem them. You can look at all this, watch all this on the archive or listen to it. Be at peace with everyone. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient. Don't repay evil for evil. Follow the good. The first 8 out of 9 have to do with serving other people. So what do we do when things don't seem to be going right for us? Serve someone else. Because I promise you, when we get our eyes off of us, and we get our eyes off of our problems, and we say, God, use me wherever I am today. I believe the God of the universe, while he's using us, he is working in us and for us. And then we're going to get to the end of this whole thing and say, wow, God was working for me while he was working through me. Verse 16, new material. I love this. He says, rejoice evermore. So the now what question is answered with, get your joy back. Rejoice means to get your joy again. When we make happiness and joy synonymous, we trivialize joy and make something it is not. Whoever said money cannot buy happiness has not had enough money. Money can buy happiness. Money cannot buy joy. Money can buy you a brand new bright blue McLaren or Lamborghini or Ferrari or a 30,000 square foot house in the Dominion. Money can make you happy, but the same way that it makes you happy, it can make you sad. One of the greatest performers of our day, I read early this morning, he is I think, 30 years old. He has been through $22 million. He is now broke, and he's living with a friend. He was happy for a moment, but his happiness disappeared when the money disappeared. I'm not looking for happy, I'm looking for joy. And when he says rejoice evermore, he's saying get your joy back. But Living Way, can I tell you, once you get it back, never let it go again. Nehemiah says it like this in Nehemiah 8:10. He says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. Not my joy. Can I tell you that every day that I've ever had joy, it's never been my joy. It's been his joy. His joy is perfect. His joy is lacking nothing. And so when I'm depressed, joy becomes my strength. His joy becomes my strength. Well, don't you know what's happening in our world? I know what's happening in the world. I'm not naive. I'm praying. In times I've fasted about our world and our country, but I'm not losing one wink of sleep at night. Why? Because I'm resting in the promise that I've got a joy, a God that has loaned me his joy, and as long as I have his joy, I can face another day. What are we going to do, Pastor? We're going to rejoice forever. Evermore. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get your joy back. Happiness is determined by happenings. Joy is determined by Christ and Christ alone. Only through a relationship with Jesus can joy be found and acquired. This is why we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Until you allow Jesus in your life, joy cannot come. Not that it cannot stay, it can't even show up. This world was full of all kinds of craziness, but on the cool, crisp Bethlehem night in December, a cry from a baby announced to the world. Angels showed up and heralded his arrival. Why? Because the world was crazy, but joy showed up. Can I tell you, when you have those now what moments of your life, joy will show up in the form of Jesus. When I was younger, we sang a song by the great Shirley Caesar. This joy that I have,
If I wasn't losing my voice, I'd sing you a bar or two. We sang it all the time. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, where's Pastor Becky? Can you sing it for me real quick? I can get a drink of water and I can sing it.
Joy.
There you go.
World didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. No, no, no. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
Listen to the next line. Here we go.
The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away.
If the world can't take your joy away, anytime you lose your joy, it's you gave it away. Not they took it away. They can't take what they didn't give you. They don't have access to your joy, to my joy, until we take our joy and say, here, take my joy. But I've come too far to let loose now. I've come too far to throw in the towel now. Joy has kept me sane. Joy has kept me focused. Joy has kept me in the game, and it's kept you too. So rejoice forevermore. Get your joy. Keep your joy. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Becky. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Some of you had to introduce yourself around the Thanksgiving table in your prayers because God hadn't heard you since last Thanksgiving. Or perhaps he hadn't heard you since you had the cancer scare. Or your light bill was due and they were threatening to turn off your utilities. And so you had to introduce yourself when really we don't pray at church. We don't pray at Thanksgiving. We don't only talk to God when we need something. This is what Paul would say in the now what times. When you're persecuted, when you're not persecuted. When people are against you and when people are applauding you. I need a generation of people that are going to continually talk to God. I wake up talking to him. I go to sleep talking to him. I talk to him on the way to work. And after I work with those knuckleheads a couple hours, I got to talk to him at break time. I talk to him at lunch. I talk to him at dinner. I spend the entire awake moments of my life talking to Jesus. I might not be on my knees. You might not be on your knees. You might not be in your secret place of thunder. You might not be in your closet. But guess what? Every day, all day, you can talk to God. You say, what does that sound like? Sometimes you walk out of the board meeting and you're just shaking your head saying, God, I need you to work in those crazy people. They don't know who they're dealing with. I am a child of God. God, you have given me favor. Use me as your vessel. Speak through me. Work through me, God. When you're at the hospital, and listen, not just for your baby, not just for your ailment, but when you're walking down the hallway of that hospital, every door you pass, God, healing right now for that young man. God, raise that woman out of her bed. God, I pray that right now, as you walk into the hospital, God, I am a modern day apostle. Just because I'm here, my shadow is going to bring healing. Wouldn't it be an awesome resurrection if everybody in the ward that you walked through suddenly regulated? All their diseases were dried up and disappeared, all because we got an intercessor that knows how to change and shift the atmosphere. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you quit your job and pray? No. It means you pray at your job. It means you pray at the grocery store. Come on, some of you prayed at the grocery store because you waited till Wednesday night to go get Thanksgiving food. You pray. Let me just say something. There's something to be said about preventative prayers. What does that mean? God, I feel healthy. Thank you. Now, God, help me to live in this health. Help me to walk in this health. I plead the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd put angels as a hedge around me. I know so-and-so got the cancer scare. I know heart disease runs in my family, but it ends with them. It will not come to my body. It might be close, but it's not coming in. Those are preventative prayers. God, I'm thankful that I have more money than I do bills, but God, I pray that you would rebuke the devourer. I pray that things that are trying to steal my money, things that are trying to steal all the things that you've given me, God, that you are literally protecting me. Those are preventative prayers. And those are so much stronger in faith than,
God, they just sent me a bankruptcy notice, and I need you to come and save me at the last moment. God will do that. But, oh, there's something good to be said about those that are in continually conversation with God, and he knew it was going to come up. And you've got the faith that whatever comes up, he's going to cure, he's going to work, he's going to do something great on your behalf, all because you've kept the lines of communication open. Pray without ceasing. Some of you prayed more over the election than you have your children in the last 2 months. That's a shame. Some of you have prayed more against or for a political pundit than you have for your church and the leaders of the universal church. That's a shame. Why? Because we can do more in here on a Sunday morning. You can do more with your prayers on a Thursday afternoon than they can do for 40 years in Washington. Pray without ceasing. Here's another one, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Check this out. There's some misconception in this verse. First of all, the next one is never stop praising. Never stop praying, never stop praising. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. So if you get a bad report, you don't say, God, I thank you for this disease. What you say is, God, in spite of what they saw on the test, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to praise you anyway. In the midst of everything, I'm going to give you praise. This is where the misconception is, because the last half of that verse says, for it is the will of God. It is not God's will for everything to happen. It is his will for you and I to praise God in the midst of when everything is happening. That means on your best day, you praise God. On your worst day, you praise God. When all hell breaks loose, I'm praising God. When everything is perfect, I'm praising God. I praise him when the new car shows up. I praise him when I got four flats. I praise him when he walks in. I praise him when she walks out. In everything, give thanks. That's why David would say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Was David's life perfect? Of course not. Horrendous things happened. Adultery happened. It cost him his marriage. His first son, out of that adultery, died. He's murdering people and setting all of these things up. People are wanting to stone him. People are wanting to kill him. But David said, in everything, I'm going to give God praise. Let me tell you something. The pandemic can't steal your praise. Don't quit on God now. He's brought you this far. It's been sad to see some people lose their faith over things they cannot control. But the one thing I can control is the level of my praise, the level of my faith, the level of my trust, the level of my prayer. And if anything, all that has been ratcheted up the last 9 months. Why? Because I'm in a now what season, and I'm proving to the world, to all of hell, to heaven, and my God, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, I'm going to pray and praise in everything. Doesn't mean you have to enjoy it, but that's what Paul said. Paul got to the place where even with the thorn in his flesh, he said, I'm still going to praise you. Here's a good one, verse 19. Quench not the spirit. I went to the Greek on this one because when I think quench, I think of hamper the flow. I think of kinking a water hose where there's still water coming through. It's just not at the flow or the level that it used to. But when you go into the Greek for quench, it means this, to switch off. So we're not talking about to hinder or hamper the flow. We're talking about somewhere between Monday and Saturday, something happens. And our choice is to pray, praise, and let the Holy Ghost go. And some of us just flip that switch off. And I don't think it's somebody else doing the switch flipping. I think we flesh out. We get very annoyed. We get frustrated waiting on what God said is going to happen. And so we switch off. It also means to turn off. It also means to erase. So when Paul says to quench not the spirit, he says you hold the control of the Holy Ghost for you and your life in your hands. It is your decision. If you want to switch it off, you can switch it off and try to make sense of everything that's going on around you. or like most of us in this room today, when all hell breaks loose, is we turn it up. They heat the fiery furnace up. You're going to hear the Spirit a little louder, a little greater. And in this moment today, your now what moment, I am begging you, no matter what, don't turn off the gift of the Holy Ghost. If anything, you need to speak in it more. You need to practice it more. You need to unleash it more. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't turn it off. Tell him, keep it on. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. That's a good one. Don't ignore prophecy. Now, when I say prophecy, I'm not talking about Christian television prophecy that says if you send in $127 once a week for the next 122 weeks, that God is going to show up. That's not prophecy. Those are cheap parlor tricks. They're magicians. They're manipulating your senses. When I talk about prophecy, the first thing I'm talking about is what God has prophesied in his word that has not yet come to pass. Realize this. Any promise that has not yet manifested in your life is a prophecy. Say that again. There's 6,000 promises. Number one thing you need to do and I need to do is make sure we know all 6,000 promises so we know what's coming to us. But then we can stand on that word if that promise has not yet manifested and say, God, you prophesied 2,000 years ago that as a believer you would do this for me. I'm not seeing it yet, but I'm not losing faith. I'm not going to ignore. I'm not going to despise that prophecy. I'm holding on to the prophecy. But let me just say this to help people who the enemy sends somebody to prophesy to you. There's a lot of prophelying going on, not a lot of prophesying. There are prophets, that's P-R-O-F-I-T-S out there, not prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. They're out for profit. They're out to get something from you. I believe that every prophet of God that comes to you with a word should not be the first time you have heard that word. I believe it should confirm something in your spirit. I have shut people down in these aisles that say, Pastor, I've got a word for you, and they get halfway through that word, and it's the craziest thing I've ever heard, and I shut them down. I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry, sir. I've never heard that word from God, and I talk to God enough that God doesn't have to use you, who I've never met. It's your first time at Living Way to give me that word. I pray without ceasing. I praise without ceasing. And so if God wants to talk to me, he can talk to me anytime he wants. We don't ignore the real prophecy, but we discern the prophits, those that are out for something, not to help you become what God has called you to be. That's a tough word, but it needs to be said. Somebody say amen. Verse 21, winding down to a close. Verse 21, prove all things. Hold that which is good. Prove all things. How do we prove? When I hear that word prove, I automatically go back to David. David standing with Saul. Saul says, I want you to wear my armor. You're going to defeat Goliath. He puts on Saul's armor, but then it dawns on him, I cannot go to battle with something I have not proved. You cannot answer the now what questions with something you have not proved. That is why I learned how to answer the now what questions in times of peace. So when pandemic shows up, I have sharpened those tools. I am good at using those tools. And the pandemic can't talk me out of what God has already placed in me. And so how do we prove things? We prove all things by holding them up next to Jesus. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, and if it doesn't sound like Jesus, then it's too big of a risk for me to allow that and invite that into my life. That is a word for somebody. When they show up, you need to hold them up to Jesus. Do they look like Jesus? Do they sound like Jesus? If not, you are called to minister to them, not invite them to be your BFF. Two groups of people in my life. Those that I'm in relationship with, those that I'm called to minister to, and they never mix. Because I cannot invite somebody into my circle that I cannot prove is the real deal. Come on, somebody. Prove all things. That's people. That's things. Whatever doesn't look like Jesus, whatever doesn't sound like Jesus is unproven, and we cannot take that risk. And then he says this, hold fast to that which is good. If you go back up a few verses, it says to follow the good. So when we talk about holding fast to the good, we find the good, we follow the good, and then we hold tightly to the good. Some of us, our grip has been loosening. Maybe it's been months, maybe it's been years, but we've gotten comfortable, we've gotten calloused. You need to hold on to the good in your life, the God in your life, like your life depends on it, because guess what? It does. You've got to hold, listen, everything that is good is not God. But let me tell you this, everything that is God is good for you in your life. So when you find God first, he's going to lead you to the good, and you're going to hold on to that good. And no matter what's going on out there, never let go of what God died to give us. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Uh-oh. Don't look like evil. Abstain means to hold back. It means to create distance. Some of us have gotten too close. We're not evil, but we've got too comfortable being around evil. There should be things that literally make you physically sick when people say them or do them in your presence. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And I got family in Louisiana. And so I'm not hating on the state. I love Louisiana. The greatest food in the Union came out of Louisiana. I mean, we all know that. But the last time I was in New Orleans, I physically got sick. Because there is a spirit of witchcraft that flows in and out of that city in certain boroughs and certain streets. And I thought it was something I ate, but I just told you the best food in the world comes out of Louisiana. It wasn't, and I was just driving through, just a quick stop. It wasn't 10 miles outside of the city limits, and boom, it left. And God spoke to me, said, that's where discernment comes in. You need to know what is making you sick, because if it makes you sick, he said, I don't like it because it makes you lukewarm. And when you get lukewarm, he said, I'd rather spew you. It makes me sick. So when I abstain from the appearance of evil, I'm watching what you do. So that what you do doesn't make me do. I'm watching and hear what you say so that what you say and what I'm hearing doesn't become familiar out of my mouth. There's a lot of us that we come to an altar, we praise, we worship, that's good, but the enemy has big plans for you in 2021, and he's not going to hit you in the face. He's going to bring you a new friend. He's going to put you in a new job where all the evil is going to be so accessible, so close. And there's not enough. But he says, abstain, create distance between you and that which looks like evil. You don't want to cause a brother to stumble. But at the end of the day, most importantly, we don't want you to stumble. We don't want you to buy into the now what and to throw in the towel. There's just a couple more of these. Stand on your feet. Verse 23. And the very God of peace. Right after he gives us this list, I think it's 17 of these. He says, keep praising. Keep praying. Don't look like the evil that is around you. Don't let it jump on you. Don't let that happen. Hold on to what is good. All of these things, this list of things that he says, when you're under persecution in faith, now what questions of your life, this is what you need to do. I love what Paul says to end it. He says, and the very God of peace, may he sanctify you wholly. Top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. Living away, I don't know what you're going through, but it is a spirit, soul, or body issue. Paul said God wants to whole, make you whole in every area, to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. Verse 24, we never really get to 24 when we preach this chapter. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, and he is also the one who will perform it. God is faithful, church. And the God that calls you is the God that will perform it in you. God doesn't start you on a journey and say, I hope you make it to the end, and I'll be there at the finish line waiting for you. He said, in the now what seasons of your life, you're going to hear me call you. You're going to hear me cheering for you. But you're going to see me moving where only I can move. You're going to see me rearranging pieces of your life. I don't know the now what question. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's in family. Maybe it's on your job. Maybe it has nothing to do with the relationship. Maybe it's a mental state right now, and your emotions have been all over the place the last 9 months. Maybe he left you. Maybe she walked out on you. Maybe you're having money problems. Maybe you're not saved, and you're fearing death or what might happen to you if you should die. All of those now what questions can be answered with one name. His name is Jesus. And I believe, praise God, as this family comes, I believe that when Jesus comes into our life, all of the answers are now available to us. He calls us. He performs it. So what do I do in this equation? What do I do in this process? Pray without ceasing. What do? You praise without ceasing. What do? You have faith. You hold on. Going back to the last two weeks, you're patient with everyone. You live in peace. You know them. You esteem them. You go through this entire list, and you do it, and then you pray about it, and you do it again. It's just a cycle. All I have to do is what God calls me to do, because he started it, he will finish it, and he will perform it. All he needs me to do is be faithful during the process. We've got them started in this altar, families in this altar, great pillars of this church in this altar.